Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hey, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix coming up this weekend. We will have driver interviews, including Colton Herta, coming up later in the show, brought to you by Lincoln Tech's NADC and the Nashville Sheriff. But right now, we continue our NFL previews. The Chicago Bears, NFC North. I'm fascinated by that division, and I don't really know why, but I am. Danny Parkins is one half of Parkins and Spiegel, 670 The Score, afternoons, and also has to deal with our good friend Ryan Porth. Danny, how are you?
Chase, it's a burden, but somehow we're managing here in Chicago dealing with Porth.
I know, I'm actually going to come see him this weekend. We're going to do Cubs Braves at Wrigley, so that'll be fun. But I hope he's behaving and not getting in the way too much.
He just wants us to talk hockey. It's exhausting. So, you know, other than that, it's fine. But it's nice to have him. And is it going to be your first time at Wrigley?
No, we went last year. They're playing Milwaukee, I think. But I'm a Braves fan, so it'll be fun for me.
Oh, good. Well, I hope you're unhappy this weekend.
Yes, I know. So, are Bears fans going to be happy this year? That is the question that I think on a lot of your listeners' minds. And, you know, I start with Justin Fields. We talk to Tim Hasselbeck every week on this station, former quarterback and now with ESPN. And, you know, he's brought up that Fields just needs time. Well, how much time is it going to take for him to become the franchise quarterback that the Bears have coveted for a very long time?
I think that time is up. I think it's this year. I think that every excuse in the book was made for him, and I made most of them last year, because I think that they were valid. He had a terrible offensive line, and he was in two systems in 2 years in the NFL, three systems in 3 years, if you count going back to college. Learning an offensive system is like learning a language. He had very little skill position help. Darnell Mooney is not a number one, and then he got hurt, and then they traded for Chase Claypool, who is also not a number one, and then he got hurt. And this offseason, they've upgraded at right guard. They've upgraded at right tackle. Their rookie left tackle, who played every snap last year, should be even better in Braxton Jones. They've got a representative offensive line. I've been saying it like this. In the past couple of years, there were players that were starting on the Bears offense that if they got cut, I'm not convinced that they would be picked up to be backups on some teams in the NFL. This year, everybody who is a starter on the Bears offense is a legitimate NFL caliber player who would be picked up immediately by other teams. So he's got real talent around him. It's his second year in the system, third year in the league. This is when we see players make a jump if they have special talent. And I believe Justin Fields has special talent.
Danny Parkins is with us. And yeah, you mentioned some of the help that he got. DJ Moore, when they made that move and DJ Moore was coming back to Chicago, I perked up a little bit, because I think DJ Moore is a very talented receiver, and now that you add him with Chase Claypool and the others that they have in that group, I do feel like you can say he has a legitimate weapon. What have you seen out of Moore to this point?
So, I mean, by all accounts, the chemistry with DJ Moore and Justin Fields is already special, and like they've been there and playing together for a couple of years. And DJ Moore is simply excellent. He has three 1,100-yard receiving seasons, catching from guys like Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and Kyle Allen and P.J. Walker. He's had absolutely no high-level quarterback play, in his career, just like Justin Fields has never had a legitimate number one receiver. Now, it's still to be determined if Justin Fields is a high-level quarterback, but he's certainly the most talented quarterback that DJ Moore has ever caught passes from. And I think that DJ Moore is legitimately a number one receiver. Like, if he was in fill-in-the-blank, like if you flipped him in Jamar Chase is better than DJ Moore. I'm not saying that he isn't, but I think that DJ Moore is absolutely talented enough that if he was in a good offensive system with a good, legitimate, great NFL quarterback, he could be a 1,400-yard, 10-touchdown guy. Like, there's so many talented receivers in the NFL that have their production suppressed based on the system or the quarterback that they play with. Hopefully this is the year that unlocks DJ Moore and Justin Fields now that they've linked up together.
So we know Cole Kmet's there at tight end, but Robert Tonyan comes from the rival Packers. What are you expecting out of him and those two tight ends this year?
I think that they're going to play together a lot. I think that Tonyan and his impact is being a little overstated. I mean, he has one great touchdown production season. He has got a double-digit touchdown season. And then every other year, it's, you know, 1, 3, 2. You know, it's not much. And I know the touchdown variance is a thing, but I'd be a little surprised if he came to Chicago leaving Aaron Rodgers and all of a sudden became an elite pass catching option. Like, that strikes me as unlikely. So I still think Cole Kmet is going to be the more productive pass catching tight end. But what I think that they want to do is play a lot of two tight end, two receiver, single back sets so that you've got a ton of blockers on the field. You have to give respect the running game. They were the number one rushing team in the NFL last year. Give Justin Fields more time in the pocket to throw to Mooney, Kmet, DJ Moore, and actually give him some protection back there. So I don't think that Tonyan's going to have a massive pass catching season, but I do think he's going to be on the field a lot.
And you mentioned that run game. So what do you think that looks like with Fields' skill set and then the guys behind him?
Well, I mean, it's to be determined. You know, Khalil Herbert is back, and he's got a ton of burst, and he was a great yards per carry guy last year as a change of pace back, but he can't pass block. Then they brought in Deontay Foreman, who from Carolina, pretty talented dude, but obviously not an elite special talent. Let David Montgomery walk away, didn't want to pay him $6 million a year. Drafted Roschon Johnson, who was Bijan Robinson's backup at Texas. So there's three guys that are going to kind of share the load on some level. I think Foreman is going to be the number one volume back for the Bears, with Herbert as more of a still change of pace guy because the pass blocking is limited. And Roschon Johnson, they'll ease him in and he'll get some special teams work. The question is Justin Fields going to lead the Bears in rushing again like he did last year? I'm hoping that he's second on the Bears in rushing with like 800 rushing yards, as opposed to needing to have 1,100 or 1,200. Like, I'm hoping that he takes a step back by about, 30% in rushing, because that means that the passing volume is up and that they're getting production elsewhere. But it's going to be very much a running back by committee for the Bears. And the question is Fields the number one or number two rusher on the team?
I'll tell you what, you're going to like Deontay Foreman. He spent the year here, or half a year here, with the Titans when Henry was hurt. And I wish they had brought him back, because
he plays hard.
Yeah. I mean, and he's got energy, brings energy. Coaches here really liked him. So I could see him being a good fit there in that offense for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's been productive everywhere he's gone without playing on spectacular offenses. So I think, and Luke Getsy, the Bears offensive coordinator, he wants to run the ball. That's a team in Green Bay that had Aaron Jones and then drafted AJ Dillon. So, the goal is to run the ball and then operate your passing game off of play action. So Foreman should be able to fit into that system pretty nicely.
So you brought up the offensive line earlier. What about the other side of the ball with the defensive line? We've talked so much here about pass rush with the Titans. What does that side of the ball look like for the Bears?
It's the weak spot. They might have the worst defensive line in football. That they are. You're going to be able to run on them. They're very inexperienced. Their leading sack artist last year was Jaquan Brisker, a rookie safety who had 4. That's who led the Bears in sacks last year. And then they didn't spend money on an elite pass rusher on the edge. They did not draft Jalen Carter for the interior when they traded down to 9. 2 of their first 4 picks were interior defensive linemen, Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens from Florida and South Carolina. respectively, but it's really tough to make an impact as a rookie, as an interior defensive lineman. I expect them to sign a veteran edge presence. Some people think Yannick Ngakoue. I think he's a little too weak against the run for what they want to do. I think Justin Houston's a pretty good fit, and I think they're waiting for those veterans who want multi-year deals to come to terms with the fact that they're going to need to accept a one-year deal. So I expect that to happen at some point during the preseason. But the defensive line is definitely the weak spot of the team. I think the back seven is pretty good, and we can get into the specifics on that if you like. But the vulnerability for the Bears this year, no question, is going to be their front four.
So we dealt with that with the Titans a few years ago where the front wasn't very good. The secondary kind of carried the water, but you obviously have to have pass rush to help out the secondary. So you feel like that's the more of a brighter spot on defense?
I mean, it's young and it's talented. So, you know, Jaquan Brisker, who I mentioned, paired with Eddie Jackson, is a really good safety tandem. Jalen Johnson, I think, is one of the more underrated defensive players in all of football. He's a very good cover corner. He doesn't have the interception numbers that get the national acclaim, but also teams just don't target him because he's so clearly the best corner on the Bears that they just pick on him elsewhere. There were multiple games last year where there were literally zero targets at Jalen Johnson. So I think he's a legit number one corner. And then, you know, they drafted Kyler Gordon in the second round last year. Brisker was a second round pick. Gordon's going to be in the slot. Then they drafted Tyreek Stevenson this year out of Miami. So it's a very young secondary, but they're talented. They're athletic. They've got pretty good ball skills. And then with Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards, those are two of the top 10 coverage linebackers in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. And Edmonds is arguably the best. His wingspan is just ridiculous. Guy looks like he should play in the NBA. So I think that they actually, like, the back seven should be pretty good in terms of coverage. But like you said, football's so complementary, especially on defense. Like, can the secondary cover an extra second to get a bad pass rush home, or could a good pass rush get there an extra second earlier to help out a bad secondary? Hopefully for the Bears, the secondary is going to prop up the pass rush.
So I'm curious it's been a year, but what is kind of your evaluation of the combination of Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus as they try and turn this thing around with the Bears?
I think that they are in lockstep and loving football character. There have been enough instances now where they've drafted the guy at maybe the non-premium position who checks all of the character boxes, as opposed to maybe the more talented player at the more premium position who has some character questions. Like, 2 years ago, they took Jaquan Brisker, strong safety out of Penn State, over George Pickens when they really needed a receiver. And I thought that led them down a chain of events that made a desperate trade for Chase Claypool and then needing to trade for DJ Moore. And then this past year, they took Darnell Wright at right tackle instead of taking Jalen Carter. Both players, Brisker and Wright, look great, but I think at some point you need to make the risk, so to speak, for the elite talent at the elite position. They seem to be a little conservative for my liking in that front. Ryan Poles is very smart. He's got a great background. He seems to be an incredible evaluator of offensive line talent. Like Braxton Jones, getting him in the fifth round and having him start every single game at left tackle last year is excellent. Ryan Poles was an offensive lineman at Boston College, got a cup of coffee in the NFL. He blocked for Matt Ryan in college, and he helped transform the Chiefs offensive line after that disastrous Super Bowl where Mahomes was running for his life. He drafted Creed Humphrey. He drafted, what's the guy's name from Missouri? Trey Smith, and helped lead the signing for Joe Thuney to kind of revamp that offensive line in KC. So I think they got a smart football evaluator who's maybe a little conservative in Ryan Poles, and Matt Eberflus to be determined. He's an acronym guy. He's a, you know, hits principle, hustle, intensity, takeaways, smart situational football. It's pretty high school-y. And we'll see if he can coach up the defense and generate turnovers and takeaways without a lot of talent on the defensive line. So I think that it's kind of an incomplete on Eberflus, and I really like what I've seen from Poles, even if maybe he's a little conservative for my liking.
Well, I think that division, I don't know how you view it, but I think that division is an interesting one because everybody's in love with the Lions and they're still the Lions.
See, I think that that is the prevailing opinion. Well, it's the Lions, so they're going to Lions. But then you actually look at the team. It's really good.
Right. You're right.
It's really good. They have arguably the best offensive line in the NFL with some of the departures that the Eagles have had. They retained their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, who turned down head coaching interviews. They've got continuity there. I know Jameson Williams is suspended for the first six games because of gambling, but he looked like an absolute monster when he came back last year, opposite Amon-Ra St. Brown. They added David Montgomery and drafted Gibbs, who's a home run hitter. I know running backs at 12th overall is not a great use for value, but the guy looks like an absolute monster. And Jared Goff had 4,400 passing yards, 29 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. Like, their offense is really, really good. And then they spent money in the secondary in free agency, you know, drafted a linebacker in the first round. Hutchinson's an absolute monster. On the defensive line, I like Kaminsky a lot as an edge guy. Like, I think the Lions are good. So I think that they're a top 10, top 12 team in the NFL. The Vikings, I think, are a zero. They were the flukiest 13-win team in the history of the NFL last year and got worse. And then the Packers, I'm just choosing to believe that they're not going to be the team that goes from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer to Hall of Fame quarterback, and then Jordan Love is going to stink. So I think they're going to take a backslide too. So I rank it Lions 1, Bears 2, Vikings 3, Packers 4 in the NFC North.
Okay, interesting. Danny, appreciate the time today, man, and we'll talk again soon. Take care of Ryan for me.
Yeah, no, he's doing great. Good to talk to you anytime.
Thanks. Danny Parkins, 670 The Score in Chicago. Talking Bears with us. Parkins and Spiegel is the show, an entertaining show. And, of course, Ryan Porth, our former leader, here now with them at The Score. Coming up next, you guys know, I mean, we talk a lot of sports betting on this show, but when one of these stories happens, we got to address it, and I just don't get it. We'll do that next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.